Welcome to RPE. My name's Dustin. I'm your host. Today I'm going to be with Joe and Aaron, and we're going to talk about resistance training types. There's four main types that we want to break down: power exercises, strength, hypertrophy, and endurance. There's going to be some science in there to back up what we're talking about, but a lot of that is going to be through application for you guys. So listen close, see what you can get out of today's podcast, and we hope you enjoy the podcast. I think the main reason I'm excited to get this going is because specifically we've all been blessed with the ability to have the opportunity to learn. And I think we've all taken a clear advantage of that and truly like put ourselves out there to learn. And what I really like about where we're at now, now that we've all graduated from our undergrad and are in our next level of education, we all have like a really specific way of how we like to do exercises. Whereas before, when you're like new to all this education and information, you don't really have like a good set in stone, like this is what I like to do and this is how I think that exercise should be done. And I think every time we talk, there's like more that comes out. Joe, when you're, I'm talking to you, you're like, how do we get that joint moving? I want to see some performance. And I'm like, dude, like keep that within the limits, because that's, because my head's more rehab focused. And Aaron, you have your own experience and like with what you do. So I'll just introduce myself. I am Dustin. Hey, thanks for all listening. I have a bachelor's of science in exercise science, as do these guys. And I'm a certified exercise physiologist through the American College of Sports and Medicine. And currently Aaron and I going to DPT, Doctorate of Physical Therapy School, this fall. And I've worked as an exercise specialist for a year and a half at a medical fitness center. I was a certified personal trainer in 2017, and I'm still doing some personal training and will continue to do that when I go into PT school. So that's kind of a little bit about me. So Aaron, introduce yourself, bro.
Yeah, so like Dustin said, we're going into physical therapy school together this August. So that's probably biggest monumental thing we're kind of going for. But
yes, sir.
Previously, we all three kind of got connected through exercise science undergrad at Southwest Baptist University. And so my background is exercise science. Just graduated, trying to complete my internship right now. Once I complete that this summer, I'll have my degree officially. And this summer, I also just took the Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist certification test, and I passed.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, I got that in the bag, but I actually don't officially have it until I get my degree as well. So I
would kind of. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so I should have it within about like 6 to 7 weeks.
Okay, sweet.
So we're kind of so, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, where my specialty would lie, but definitely have a passion for strength and conditioning.
Yeah, and I think you have a lot of like experience with your own programming. Like your programs are so detailed, but just with where you've been, you haven't been able to like really prescribe that as much, but you've been able to like do it yourself and see your results firsthand. And well, and we, Joe and I, have been able to see it secondhand. Like, wow, that really worked. Your time got faster. You're explosive all of a sudden. Or the one time you came back and you had like a crap ton more muscle mass, and we were like,
that one summer is over a summer. Yeah.
Who are you? That was a lot. So anyway, yeah, that's good. How about you, Joe?
So I'm Joe Almeida. Obviously you guys know me, but
I just want to say your name in full right now so bad, but go ahead. Keep going.
We'll keep that for next time. But yeah, I graduated from exercise science, from SBU with an exercise science degree. I play tennis for SBU as well. And now I'm the graduate assistant coach for Fort Hays women's tennis here. And I am doing my master's in health human performance with the concentration in exercise science. So it's just a lot to say, but in general, just a bunch of exercise science stuff. I am not currently certified. I'm studying to take the CSCS in the fall. So hopefully that'll be behind my name pretty soon.
Yes, sir.
And kind of with all those guys, have a deep passion for strength conditioning. With different experiences in my own life, attending to a conference this past fall, I got to really like just start thinking about strength conditioning in a lot of different ways. And just this past year, like my whole like thinking over that area kind of has changed a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely can tell. Yeah, and your coaching, did you say that?
Yeah, so I coach most of the conditioning for the girls. I do some strength, or I try to fill in the gaps that the strength and conditioning program here needs. So, I mean, anything from plyometrics to core strengthening to agility and mm-hmm. speed training, whatever I don't see there, I try to implement in our training.
Dude. Sick. Yeah, and I think that's what's so cool when we talk. Athletic background, same education. More of like a workout, because I, you know, wrestling and then got into working out. So more like a passion for like working out into
bodybuilding.
The same education. Yeah, more bodybuilding style for sure. And then Aaron, almost like just like a healthy individual, same education. So our like background is all a little different. And mm-hmm. I would definitely say, Aaron, you stick more to the books a little bit more, but also you haven't been able to like test your experience. So sometimes you're like, I can't prescribe 2 to 3 days a week for your endurance and strength training because you only said once a week. So like, I think maybe a lack of experience is why you might stick to the books more, which is obviously natural when you're coming out of an educational stance. But anyway, yeah. I think when we get in going, it's like, it's fun.
And having a 4.0 in college, that.
Oh, yeah. So Aaron's the beast of us all. He'll be the valedictorian, hands down. Or his wife will be, or soon-to-be wife, will be valedictorian. Or they'll compete for it in DPT school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely see that becoming a thing. Because Aaron's graduating with this, like, 4.0. Joe is right behind him, and I'm scratching by with a 3. But, hey, we're good. We're all moving forward.
Yeah.
Strengths, we all have our strengths and weaknesses.
Yes, yeah. Which is why we're friends. Okay, so sometimes, not you, most of the time. Yeah. So I'm gonna share my screen real quick. Let me share screen. There we go. All right, so you guys see that?
Training types, yes.
Boom. Joe, you might not be able to as well because you're on your phone, but so
no, I do.
Today I kind of just want to talk about training types. I think this is a good place to start because every time we talk, we'll talk about like programs that we've made, programs we're making for people, different trainings we've done ourselves. Like recently, Joe has talked a lot about the training that you've done. And then Aaron, you're in the same boat. Hey, look at my first program, stuff like that. So I definitely want to look at these, the four main types, and you guys got a lot of like different knowledge. Aaron, you got some great book knowledge, which is always a good place to start. Cause if you don't know like the basic anatomy, how are you going to come up with a detailed program instead of just a 3 sets of 10? Let's do that. Rest for a minute, 3 sets of 10, and just be so like standard instead of going, well, this is a type 1, type 2 muscle fiber. This is explosive. So we actually don't want to do that many reps. Like all those kind of things get a little hairy if you don't know. So that's kind of why I want to talk about these things. So let's get it going. So first thing, talk about power. Joe, you probably have the best background in this stuff. And I think because you have the best background, hit it off. So basically time, rest times, time duration for exercise, times per week, whatever you want to kind of like take on that. And also repetition, how many repetitions. And you can also like get it mixed in there, how many times per week, whatever you want to do with those. And then movements, maybe some specific movements that for people listening could be like, oh yeah, that's a power movement. And I can say that's a power movement, not so like a skull crusher. Yeah, we can get it explosive. We can actually get it plyometric even. But when I think skull crusher, I'm thinking stability. I'm thinking isolated tricep. I'm not thinking power.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely say that Aaron is the most explosive of all of us. So he would have also some some good input into that.
You are explosive.
When it comes to power, that's been the thing that probably I've been learning a lot this last few months and just since I started this master's program. So when we go to the strength program here, everybody power cleans. And everybody does some sort of, like, the football team does the jammer, which is,
yep.
If I could show you here, this is
I love the jammers.
The machine, how do I invert this video? So right there, if you don't know what that is, it's just like, it's very football specific. You see athletes doing sprints and stuff like that. So I started questioning, I was like, well, why have us as tennis players, or have I not really seen much of power cleans? And I actually wrote a pretty detailed biomechanical analysis on the power clean for my biomechanics class. And it's just like a lot of insights from why, because when you look at the triple extension that you see on the power clean, that's what it makes it very explosive. So if you look at a sprinter and you will see the extension of the ankle, the knee, and the hips simultaneously. And that is what they are trying to mimic. So I come from an athletic background, so I cannot really speak for, I mean, I can only say for athletes, because in a way, I don't see a reason why a normal individual would want to be powerful unless he wants to. So usually when you talk about power, you talk about how can you transfer it to your sport? How can you make it to translate to what you're going to do on the court, on the field, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So when we look at power cleans, for example, that really mimics and you can overload in a very interesting fashion where you create that triple extension and you can go very heavy. So when we look at the general physical preparedness instead of specific, which would be, let's actually sprint for a football player. Like, obviously they have to sprint, but they also have to gain that strength. So that's why we attack the power clean, for example. It's one of the most common power exercises, and you work on that triple extension. So a couple exercises, like, as you said, like, we don't think of a skull crusher as a power exercise, even though you can still create power through it. We don't think of a bench press as a power exercise, even though you can go through it and make it powerful. Right. Those exercises, they are by nature powerful. They're the goal of the exercise is actually be as powerful as you can, no matter what variation you do. So when you look at sprinting, that's one of the most probably underrated power exercises. And Aaron has a lot of experience with that, where, I mean, he can definitely tell that, like, that creates a lot of power through your hips, through your hip flexors, through your hamstrings, hitting the floor and all of that. So lower leg, I would say any sort of jumping, box jumps. There's actually there are different exercises that you can think of that can be explosive. Usually they have to involve some sort of triple extension. So in the jumping, there's triple extension. Sprinting, there's triple extension. And that is why I would say the power clean is the king of those exercises for the lower body specifically. When it comes to the upper body, the push movement that I would say is the most is the jammer, the ground-based jammer. That would be an exercise that you can just really power through. It comes from the legs, it comes from the hips, but also comes from the upper body a lot.
Right.
And then some people like the muscle ups as a possibility for a power movement.
We're getting that population even smaller with with a muscle up, because not only do you have to have enough strength, you have to have enough strength. So it's like relative strength to your body weight. Because you could be strong in the jammers or in the power clean, but you might not be able to do a muscle up, let alone a pull up.
Yeah. So, I mean, to give a quick example of, like, my power day, right now it involves a set of hang cleans to push press. Press is another one that is very explosive push. Then I go to do muscle ups. I do three or four, and then I do four reps of ground-based jammers. And then I go into, if I want to do my leg part a little bit more extensively, I'll do some box jumps and depth jumps. So those are some of the exercises that you can probably think of. I mean, we all heard of them. They're more innovative. Any sort of jumping, sprinting, or power clean variation, I would say those are your main types.
So how many reps are you doing when you do your power cleans or even when you're doing your jammers? You said three to four on your muscle ups, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. So the reason for that, the muscle ups, is because, as you said, it's such a hard exercise that sometimes I can't just do four, and I have to make sure that I maintain good technique. So, right. And that's one thing about power exercises. If you can't maintain good technique, then don't do it. Go for more repetitions. So, repetition range, it's anywhere from one to, the NSA would say tipping the five to six mm-hmm. rep range, but I would,
I can hear you.
Two, I've seen a lot of two sets. I've seen a lot of five sets. So you can go, you have a lot of flexibility with the sets. It just depends on what you're trying to do. And then finally, the frequency. I would say that most programs, they work with 2 to 3 times a week with the power exercises. Mm.
2 to 3 times a week.
Also,
got
Joe,
it.
I was going to add in, for people that might not know, you mentioned a lot of triple extension. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so triple extension is the movement where from your ankles, knees, and hips at the same time, they're all three of them extended simultaneously. So that's the time where it's a transition phase between the transition and the second pull, which again, I'm not gonna go into details. If you wanna understand what a transition and second pull of a power clean is, you can just Google it real quick. But it's basically the moment where the bar touches your thigh and the moment where you start pulling it high so you can catch. Right in between those two phases, the triple extension. So your ankle is going to go into plantar flexion, your knees are going to extend, and your hips are going to come through. Some people call it pop the hips, or it's that moment where your hips and your knees and your ankle, they're all extended. There's no flexion in the movement, and if there is, it's a faulty movement. Again, that is exactly what's happening when your leg is sprinting. So while your front leg is flexing, so you're flexing your front leg, but your back leg is, you have plantar flexion, which is extension of the ankle. So you have your knees are completely extended and your hips are extended in a sprint position. So that's why triple extension.
So how long are you resting in between your sets?
Okay, so that's another thing that a lot of people, they have a lot of misconception with. The NSA recommends for speed drills to be a 1-to-10 ratio. So let's say we do a 5-second exercise, you go to 50 seconds rest. So you just multiply it by 10. As a general power exercise, we're gonna see rest between 2 to 5 minutes. So one common mistake that we see is them not resting enough, not enough rest, more than resting too much. Because again, if you're thinking about power, it means all out. It means you're giving everything that you have.
For sure.
And then you can give everything you have if you do 135 hang cleans, 4 repetitions, you rest 45 seconds and do it again, you're not going to be able to give it all out. So
for sure,
that's actually one of the things that, how do you program for an athlete that can only come in for 45 minutes? That's when it gets a little tricky. Mm-hmm. that's when we usually implement other exercises in between that will not necessarily damage your performance. So if I do a power clean for, I don't know, four sets of four, and for that 2 minute rest, well, I need that time for them to do. So a lot of times for the girls, they do power cleans and they will do like an incline dumbbell bench press. And I mean, yes, you're using muscle that will be used, but they're not prime movers. They're not secondary movers. They're not going
right. to
be the main mover. So that's how you go around that resting time, and you're still able to get a lot out of the workout. Because come in and they only have about 45 to an hour tops. Like, you're not going to see high school, college, even professional athletes. They're going to have like an hour and 30 minutes to rest 2 to 5 minutes every time. So
for sure. And a lot of times people think during my rest periods, I'm wasting my time, or in your case, I'm wasting my money as your client. Like, why are you having me rest for a minute and a half? And a lot of times, especially if we're doing like HIIT training, when you're resting, that's actually the most effective. After you spike your heart rate, we burn carbs here, we let that heart rate drop, we're burning fat. And a lot of times it's like, okay, my heart rate's dropping. Like, I feel like I'm wasting time. So that's good. I mean, that's good to bring up, hey, we're not wasting time. Actually, let's go do a supplementary exercise that's kind of non-related. That's good. Okay, so strength. Aaron, hit this up. So Aaron, one summer, he left us a scrawny man, and he came back, he beefy, or should I say, a chicken man, because he ate like almost, what was it, 200 and was it over 200 grams of protein per day was like your average? I mean, like,
yeah,
it was pretty much an experiment over the summer,
right,
to see how much, what my body would react to with ungodly amounts of protein. And you know, at the time we were starting to kind of explore, you know, can there be problems with our certain organs when we consume this much? And so there's some, you know, there could be even misconceptions to the point of there's some people that might say, if you eat this much amount of protein per day, you're gonna have problems.
And I remember when that happened, because I was warning you at the beginning of summer, that's right. not a good idea. And then after going to that conference, what, like half a year later, I heard and I realized we were believing too much protein, too much nitrogen in your kidneys, hard on your kidneys,
yeah.
Completely debunked that myth. It was actually a myth. It was just like a common thing. Even in medical, like people with kidney disease, first thing they do is limit their protein. And at that case, it might be effective, but all these studies came back, and you're a walking study, unless you actually did have kidney damage, but like all these studies came back and the kidneys had no negative impact. There was no negative correlation between spike in protein and renal function. So I remember that. I remember like telling you, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And you're telling me, and I'm like, oh my word, how are you feeling? And you're like, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
And then you came back like a beast, like just weighing
literally
like 20 more pounds or something like that.
Yeah, it was definitely a time when I put on, I wasn't focusing on anything else other than just pretty much mass. And it goes to show, I mean, if anyone ever, you know, were to talk to me or to listen to this, I would tell them, you know, I was kind of a self-study that if you consume a lot of protein, as long as you're drinking a lot of water with it and you're eating your other macronutrients in the right amounts, because you do need those, you can really put on some mass pretty well. And I think a lot of people just don't eat enough protein with the diets in America.
Yeah.
And especially how it's broken down. It's a small amount.
Personal study here. I would say that I increased my amount of protein by probably 180 a day or so. And that was the time where I was able to just like quickly, like within – I think it was like 6 weeks or so, I put in like 10 pounds or close to that, which for me, like my body type and my metabolism is really fast. And like 10 pounds is a lot of weight. I mean, I was just, whoa, like what happened? Like I can just see like my shoulders were just like popping more than ever. Not that like I was huge or anything like that.
Well, just to you for sure.
Yeah. But comparing me to myself, it was just like, wow, like this is crazy because I was just eating a bunch of protein.
Protein right. helps with the strength. It does. I mean, yep. It's muscle recovery. So anyway, hit this up, break it down. Tell me some strength tips, maybe just some general tips. Honestly, I think general public is going to know strength 5x5, 3x10. What am I supposed to do there? There's too many, maybe let's say misconceptions just to like, yeah. Bro talk in the gym and stuff like that. But specifically with like strength, what are some things that you know?
Yeah, I kind of want to, when I talk about strength, I like to compare it. So I might kind of compare and contrast to power, what Joe was just going over.
For sure.
So, for example, if we're talking about one of the biggest questions within strength, I think is they'll ask, okay, how heavy should I go and how many repetitions should I do?
Yes. So
strength, Joe was talking about, well, these rep ranges, it could be about 3 to 5 for power. It's actually pretty similar with strength. A lot of research, and especially from the NSCA, would recommend repetitions of 6 or below. Mm-hmm. And I would attest that that's actually pretty standard. You know, it's going to vary a little bit, but if you're going a lot more than 6 repetitions, you're getting into some different zones of training. Especially if you're getting, you know, some guys, they might be doing repetitions of like 10 or 12 and they still say that they're training for strength. But the reality is, yes, you will get stronger, but it's not isolated strength training.
Yeah.
So I kind of like to make that distinction. And as far as Joe also was talking about, loads, he talked about a little bit of the loads. So once you know, let's say you're bench pressing, the bench press is almost what everyone thinks about when they're talking about strength, right? It's a good strength exercise. But if you're talking about, okay, if I know what my one rep maximum is, my one rep max, a lot of guys don't actually calculate what they should be loading on the bar once they know their one rep max. So if you're talking about a good load would be, you want to go at least 85% or more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these numbers aren't set in stone to where if you're doing 84% or something like that, you're not training strength. But a good recommendation is 85% of the one rep max. Joe, to compare and contrast, he also said, I believe he was talking about the rest time. So he was saying, you know, like, wasn't it like 2 to 5 minutes, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the thing about strength, a lot of people don't take enough rest time for strength either. So you're going to want to be taking, I would say, at least about 2 minutes, especially if you are really doing 85% of your one rep max and you're repping out, you know, that usually correlates to about 6 repetitions actually based off that load.
And that's intense.
It should be extremely intense. And a lot of people, if you can do a minute rest time and you're training for strength, you're not going to your full intensity.
And I would just point out that like that is why you go in and your first set you're able to do like, let's say, I don't know, 185, and you're like for 6 repetitions, and in the second set, like if you don't rest enough, like you can tell that was hard or harder, and then or either like you weren't able to hit the sets, the repetition for the consecutive sets. So that is one of the things that like you can experiment yourself and see, like grab one load and try to not rest at least 2 minutes. See if you can keep and make sure that load is like your 85%, which is your 6 rep max. You're not going to be able to, like, it's just impossible for you to, if you don't rest enough. And I would say even like there's studies from like bodybuilders that they were resting like up to 10 minutes to get the full recovery. Like those guys, they obviously they had enough time, and that was their livelihood. But if you look at it, like they were like, listen, I need to get my body fully recovered. I need all my energy, all my ATP, and I don't want to go to the nitty and gritty of the science behind it, but I need all of that to just recover and being ready to go again. And they saw like some great results. So, I mean, as you said, Aaron, it's like that's something that you cannot just, I'm doing 4 repetitions and here you go, let's rest a minute and a half. No, it's just, you're not going to be able to fully reach your potential.
And I'll say a thing on that. When you put 85% on a bar and you can hit six reps, if it's your 85% of your one rep max, that is antagonizing. I have, like, even to this day, I don't even remember a time where I've hit six reps of my 85. I've gotten 82. I've gotten 83% of my 1RM. But when you hit 85%, six reps is like literally maximum potential. And so I always remember reading that in the NSCA books and ACSM books. And I'm like, eight? How is that accurate? I feel like it should be five, but hey, whatever. That's just
me. Like, I think that the fifth one, you get it and you're already like, oh crap.
Yeah, and I'm at the wall.
Like the sixth one is literally like you're pushing yourself. Yes. So you're very like, like you got to train mentally to be able to get this 85% for six. I don't think, like, that's another topic for another day, but like it's like all here at that point
because it is.
Yeah. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, hit that up. So, okay, so that's good. At least 2 minutes rest time. A lot of people do those 90 seconds. We think 60 seconds for regular and 90 seconds for strength. So that's a good thing to point out. More than 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for full strength.
Yeah. And if you're going really heavy, I would even say, like, go for three. Like, if you feel like if that's your goal, strength, make sure that you're actually, like, oh, I don't feel fully curvy. Like go for 3 minutes, you know, and it's not a problem.
Also, I was going to mention to clarify for people who get confused between power and strength, they're more related than you think. Mm-hmm. Like mathematically, power, there's like two different ways to define it. It can be force times velocity. So if you think force, what your muscles can produce, times velocity is basically the speed in a certain direction. And so when you think power, think I'm going as hard as I can, but I also need to consider velocity is super important because force times velocity. And so you are stressing both of those. Another way to define power is work over time. And so the amount of work you can do is like the amount of force that you can displace over a certain distance. So it's the same idea because time is involved and you stress time. So to do power, you can't go 100% of your one rep max or you won't be doing that movement fast. So when we're talking about strength, the reason that we can go well above 85% and still be training strength is because it's actually a lot of times you can calculate it using the same equation, but you're not stressing time. Time doesn't really matter. While you're doing the exercise, you just want to focus on the force aspect.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because there's like two different ways to see that. So you can focus on for power, and I'm tracing back here. Like if you look at the power and you decrease the time, it increases the power. So if we're doing a movement and I can go fast, that's powerful. But also, if you increase the force, you're gonna also increase the power. Which often leads to longer period of time. So there's two ways for you to increase power. You can either decrease the time or increase the amount of weight that you're doing. But again, you got to make sure that those two components, they are working together. They're not just like, as Aaron said, if you go your true one repetition max, you're not going to be able to move that bar very fast. So you got to be able to work around with like, okay, what is a good repetition, a good weight that will make me, it will be challenging, but I can go fast enough that I'm actually producing some power. So there's different studies, for example, like TCU, Texas Christian University, I believe, their baseball team and their baseball strength coach, they worked with 30% of their 1RM. And the reason for that is just because they were trying to focus on that power and they saw some really good results. But again, oftentimes they try to work between that like 60 to 80% of your repetition max. That's usually where you see most of the power exercises.
And a lot of the times you see that percentage of your one rep max on the higher end, because we're dealing with people in more contact sports. We're dealing with people who want to put on a lot of size. Example would be tennis player does not care. Joe, you don't care if you're huge. I mean, now you might, but especially when you're performing, you don't care if you're huge. So your power, we're not going to decrease your time as much as we are decrease your weight. Increase, you know, so if you're being more explosive, using 30%, studies are showing, and coaches are clearly using this, studies are showing it's just as effective because of that equation. And I think a lot of times we think explosive and power, we think contact sports. So we're thinking rugby, we're thinking football, we're thinking like hit. But when you hit baseball, we want that time to be fast. And with tennis, we want that time to be fast. So I remember when we first talked about that and I was like, 30%? What?
Yeah.
That's so contrary to like the book. But the book has to pick a side. Are we going to go with time or are we going to go with force? And so most of the time they go with force. It's going to reach more of the general population. So, okay, Aaron, hit up some strength movements. I know you said bench. That's a good one. So yeah. I don't know, like what are some other movements?
Yeah, so to put down some movements for strength, I wouldn't talk about triple extension necessarily. When you think about triple extension, which Joe explained, that's going to be the way your body moves when all those joints are extending. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, it's almost exclusively going to be a power exercise. So don't think about triple extension. Think about, I would start with explaining a core exercise. So for strength, you want to do generally, especially what you want to stress is a core exercise. A core exercise is what's going to use more than one joint. It's going to use big muscle groups, and it is also going to be very transferable to different sports. So a barbell, a lot of times you're going to be doing things with barbells simply mm-hmm. because it's a bilateral exercise. You're using both sides of your body. Once you become more experienced, you can generate more force. So a bench press is really good. A barbell back squat is also very popular. You're also going to see what's called a barbell deadlift. The reason those three are mentioned so much is because they meet all the requirements for a core exercise.
Got it. That's Got awesome. It. Okay. That's awesome. Jumping on. Okay, so with hypertrophy, that's another movement or that's another training type. This one is probably going to be the more common one because a lot of people like to do the 3 sets of 10. That's a traditional or even 2 sets of 10, often prescribed through the ACSM. Hypertrophy basically means we're looking at the muscle fiber and looking for its growth. Okay, so we're not looking at the number of muscle cells in your bicep. We're not trying to like replicate the cells as much as we are just work with the fibers. So the long fibers, we're just trying to expand those to grow them. So that's like the focus. And so typically the repetitions are just 8 to 12 reps. That's like where it's always been talked about. What's interesting is if we're dealing with type 1 or type 2 muscle fibers, their repetitions are going to change. And so a type 1 muscle fiber is going to have more mitochondria, so it's going to have more oxidative capacity, so it's not going to burn out as fast. So think about postural muscles. Do you ever think about your neck muscles throughout the day? No, you don't. Because, well, unless you're focused on your posture for that day, but you're not thinking about it. These muscles up here that are supporting this, the ones in your upper back that are supporting you, holding you up all day, your core, a lot of that's going to be type 1 because it can just continually have blood in there and be contracted even slightly or fully. But if we're dealing with type 2, those bad boys burn out pretty fast. Easy one, bicep. Bicep is typically an easy one to think, okay, type 2 muscle fibers. Now the difference would be I know we've talked about studies about how there's like Olympic athletes who have hybrid type 1, type 2s, and there's so many like type 1A, type 2B, and different types of muscle fibers, but keeping it general, we might break down muscle fibers someday, but keeping it general, type 2, you're going to burn out quick. And so if we're thinking of like a compound movement or a core exercise, like you were talking about, Aaron, you're going to have muscles in there that are probably type 1 and some that are type 2, but also in the same muscle, you can have, in the same muscle area, you can have type 1 and type 2. And so And again, when force is there, that's going to change what type of muscle fibers are being used. So our legs, I mean, we can walk all day. Our calves have great oxidative capacities, but if we put on 500 pounds on our back, we might only be doing 5 repetitions of calf raises. So hypertrophy is just growth of the muscle fiber, which is why it's kind of a hairy area, because you can do low reps or high reps. And so do I sound weird? I'm hearing like an echo.
A little bit.
A little bit. Not bad.
Oh, that sounds bad. Okay. Yeah, so for arm workouts, a lot of guys have chosen to do high repetitions, even 12 to 15 repetitions, to get their arms bigger, because there's, again, more type 2 fibers in your arms typically. So this is where most people are going to lie, is actually hypertrophy. But that's, and I think that's where like maybe a misconception is with a lot of geriatric population that I've worked with, because I write up, even myself, I'll write up 2 sets of 10 and say, you're going to get stronger from this exercise. So then they're automatically thinking, oh, this is strengthening. What can I do to get my endurance or my wind, as some say, get my wind up or my heart rate up or stuff like that. And so again, like keeping it general, endurance, strength. It's kind of like the general breakdown, but within strength, you have power, strength, hypertrophy. Within endurance, you have hypertrophy and endurance. So there's hypertrophy is kind of like the bridge between the types. So 8 to 12 reps, typically rest time, it almost always is going to be 60 to 90 seconds per set. And that's just a traditional way of doing it. And it's real effective. Depending if you're doing maybe say like on the lower end of your hypertrophy, you might see that. And keep in mind, are you going to get bigger muscles from doing strength? Probably. Are your muscle fibers going to get stronger from doing strength? Yes. Are your muscle fibers going to get stronger from doing hypertrophy? Not just bigger, but stronger. Yes. So again, we're still working out. We're still creating just better healthy habits for our body. But specifically, again, that's kind of like the point of this video and this podcast, is specifically what's the difference. And how does the different, like, what's the different change? So if we're focused on hypertrophy, you're probably going to see more muscle mass increase. Maybe not as much fat loss if your focus was weight loss. And so endurance might be better for that. So yes, you're always going to see different overlaps between training types, but that's just a quick rundown. And then movements. I mean, this is going to include all them bodybuilding movements. And that's what I really like to prescribe those. So we can get hypertrophy from doing 12 reps on a bench press. You can get it from doing 8 reps on a bicep curl. So this is going to include a lot of weight machines. And I think that's probably where most people are going to lie with hypertrophy. Weight machines are great. And also when you start getting into free weights, when we start talking more barbell movements, that's when we can say, well, typically those are more strength than they are hypertrophy. Mm-hmm. So a lot of dumbbell movements are great for hypertrophy. Now, the types of exercises you do can make a difference. So if you're doing a close grip bench press, you might be working more power if your elbows are tucked in. You might be working more hypertrophy if your elbows are flared out and you're doing high repetitions. So even in the movement itself and how you're moving your movement patterns can be different. And biomechanics play a huge role into, are you working power most effectively? Are you working your hypertrophy most effectively? So I would say movements are going to be all of them, because you can always change them in. Except if we're doing a power exercise, we don't want to be doing it for 12 reps thinking we're going to get bigger muscle groups. So think about maybe isolating muscle groups in this instance. So isolateral movements, alternating bicep curls, those are great. Even a specific just bicep curl with an easy bar or something like that. So now we're working both arms at the same time. Bilateral movements are great. So really this one we could talk about all day, but we're not. So last one, just want to cover the last one. So endurance training. So what's kind of the deal with endurance training? A lot of people hear endurance and we're thinking running. Oh, I hate running. So whoever wants to take the lead on this one, what do you got?
All right. So endurance, I mean, if you talk in general, is anything after you hit that hypertrophy area. I mean, it's anything from 15 to infinite, honestly. I mean, there's not really, it's just how long can you do those things, and is getting to that point where you're always going to go to the fatigue, the burning sensation. That's the type of stuff that when you talk about endurance and you think running, you think aerobic endurance, but here we're talking about anaerobic endurance. So, I mean, when you're talking about lifting weights, you're not going to really be working. I mean, you're going to be working your heart a little bit more, but you're not really going to be touching on the aerobic endurance. It's more the anaerobic endurance and your muscle endurance specifically. So, it's just like the hypertrophy. You're talking about long repetitions, and you're talking about, 15 to 20. Usually that's the where, well, as personal trainers or whatever you want to call yourself, that's usually what we go for. And then repetition is very low because it's the opposite of power. You don't want to go fast. You don't want to go, you don't want to let your muscles recover because you're trying to go for long and long periods of time. So, I mean, that's usually when we go from 30 to 60. Some people like to stay closer to the 30. Other people like to stay right in between. And again, it's just based on the preference and what you're trying to accomplish. But yeah, that's what I would say.
Solid. So I think a lot of times when we hear endurance, we do think aerobic activity, like you said, but we're speaking of anaerobic activity via endurance pathways. So again, we're doing push-ups. We're going to do 15 to 20 of them or more, of that movement to work our anaerobic exercises, but through an endurance. So this will work definitely more of your type one, or it'll push your thresholds, your lactate thresholds and your muscles to work more and rely more on your type one muscle fiber. So if we're doing a push-up and we're trying to do more than 15, well, let's say your triceps are going to burn out fast, but you're going to want to rely a lot on those chest muscles if you have more type one fibers there. But so that's a good thing you brought up. How about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I was going to mention two things. One, Joe made a good point on the time and the rest time. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, I feel like, are confused with, they want an exact rest time. So for endurance, they're like, they might ask me, they're like, I want to know exactly how long to rest. And Joe got it right when he said it's kind of a continuum. You can get endurance through a range, but just to give them something, I often kind of say between like 20 and 45 seconds or so. That's not exact. Cause you could go a little less than 20. You could go less, a little bit more than 45, but generally that's kind of a good window. Would you guys agree?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like 30 seconds is kind of almost the average there. Yeah. The other thing I was going to mention is, from the physiology standpoint, the biggest thing you're going for in endurance is you're trying to activate that lactic threshold. And so a lot of people hear that and they don't know what it is.
Oh yeah. Break it down.
Yeah. So the lactate threshold is essentially, when you are, let's say you're doing a bicep curl and you hit 12 reps, you're getting close to 15 reps, you start to feel a burning sensation in your muscle. When you're doing power exercises, you're not going to feel that. You might not feel that.
Or are you doing it wrong?
Yeah, or you're doing it right. And so people wonder why they're feeling that. The lactate threshold is that is starting when you start to feel that burn. And essentially what's happening is your body is not able, the amount of oxygen it has, and it's going through those oxidative processes, it's not efficient enough to keep your pH at the right level. And so that pH is dropping faster than your oxidative processes could handle what would be like your hydrogen ions that are kind of accumulating. And so it's a complicated process, but essentially you can think of it as your body's not used to handling that much basically metabolic waste that's accumulating in your muscle.
So hit the burn. That's what you're saying. We're working towards that burn.
Yeah, that burn is good. That means you're hitting endurance. If you hit the burn and you continue to stay within the burn for a while.
Nice. Nice. So really movements, again, are going to be like hypertrophy. We can do kind of anything here. And I think one of the biggest things, so first we talked about power, now we're talking about endurance, complete opposite parts of the spectrum. But if you think of doing power movements for high repetition, that's when you can often, well, let's just say in general, get injured. Because again, my rehab brain jumps in. But that's where my performance dude, Joe, he'll agree with me. That's when you can cause injury, because that movement was designed for power. And now we're trying to translate it into endurance. And so then there's going to be this overlap. And again, we're hitting a lactate threshold with a heavy extensive movement, which are like, let's just say some sort of hip extension movement. It might not be a wise thing to do, or a wise thing to prescribe to a trainer. Oh, wow. That was cool. Yeah. I'll agree with you there. Okay, sweet.
One thing before we move on from endurance, also, this is not where you're going to see the most growth in your muscle fibers. This is not where you're going to see the biggest, there's this big misconception that if I just keep going through this and it's lightweight and I'm just going forever, that's not the area, that's not the spectrum, the area of the spectrum that you're going to get the most growth. That's what girls usually, unfortunately that is a stereotype, but I've seen a lot of that, they try to go for higher repetitions because they're afraid they're not going to get, they don't want to get bulky, and that's a topic for another time. But we just got to be careful to think that all of these are going to make you stronger in general, all of these are going to grow your muscles, but there's certain areas, especially within strength and hypertrophy, that's where your muscles are going to grow the most. Even within power, that's not where your muscle is going to grow as well as it won't be with endurance. So the ends of the spectrum, that's not for the amount of muscle growth, I would say. The in between, that's where you're going to see the most actual size growth.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, especially just to kind of give a diagram on power. We're going on this side of the spectrum and your body is going to adapt differently. And example, I have a client who we train and we mix up his program, but in a progressive way, instead of going, hey, we just did a power program, now let's do an endurance-based program. In doing that, you can really obviously have muscle confusion, but also your risk for injury is so much higher because your joints are used to a heavy, maybe explosive load, but they're not ready for continual repetitions of 15 plus after we did 3 power cleans for 3 sets, resting 3 minutes in between. So again, that spectrum's a big spectrum because you want to do stepping stones. And that's why hypertrophy is a great one to use as a stepping stone if you're moving from a program. And so, and again, it might be more simplistic, it might be more bodybuilding, but after this COVID-19 thing, people are working out at home. So now we're probably doing more endurance-based exercises and workouts more than we think. Then we want to move back in the gym and get back into a strength or power program. There can, again, we're jumping the sides of the spectrum. So you can, your risk for injury goes up naturally, but if you just get back into more basic movements, a hypertrophy range, 8 to 12, even though, again, hypertrophy can occur in any rep range, you're going to be a little bit safer because, again, you use it as a stepping stone. So, I think that's it. Thank you guys for jumping on. We're definitely going to be doing more of these podcasts, so stay tuned to listen to more of these. If you all are wondering how I put these episodes out online, I use Anchor, which is an awesome podcast app. The best part about it is it's free, and there's creation tools that allows you to record and edit your podcasts seamlessly from your phone, from your computer, and you don't have to distribute it. They actually do it for you. So my podcasts get put on Spotify, Apple, and so many more podcasting platforms, and you can make money from your podcast. So there's no minimum listeners, and there's no goal to hit. It's just put it out there so people can hear what you have to say. And it's everything you need in a podcast platform. So that's why I use Anchor. So if you're wondering how I make these podcasts, that's what I would